at the beginning, and so if you if you're physically able, you just stand while I read it once more in your hearing, and then we're going to ask for God's help as we try to unpack this once more. We've looked at it once before a couple of weeks ago, but 1 John 3, verses 1, 2, and 3, it reads like this: "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure." Amen. Father, we are so grateful today that You are faithful, and when we consider Your faithfulness to us, we stand in awe that You never fail. You never tire. You're always available. You make Yourself available to us. We stand amazed at Your everlasting love, and that electing love that pursued us when we were so unlovely. That never leaves us now, that love that goes with us through all the ebbs and flows of life. And so we just thank You today, Lord, that in you, You are our firm foundation. You are the solid rock. Yeah, you are the stability in our lives. And so we just bless You and praise You today, and ask You to meet us now in the Scriptures. Lead us into truth as we contemplate these verses, and help us to apply them to our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. Well, you might remember we've talked about this subject before, and I just didn't feel like God didn't leave me alone about it, and so I wanted to visit it again. How amazing God's love is, and so that's what we're going to talk about today. Last time, you might remember, as we addressed this text, we looked at two fundamental things that you can see in verses 2 and 3. That is, who we are, right, and what we will be. Yeah. We're so wonderfully blessed to see that here we are told that we are God's children now. Yeah, we are God's children now. We are loved by God and hated by the world. Yeah, loved by God, and so that God's love sustains us in all of the pushback and the rejection and the way we're overlooked and the way we're treated in so many venues in life. The love of God sustains us, because we're in this cesspool of the world that hates us, and yet we continue to live. Yeah, this toxic milieu of wickedness and sin, and yet it's amazing that God helps us to what? Continue to thrive, not just exist. You see, He said, "I come to give life, and what? Give it more abundantly." And so we have abundant life in this toxic milieu of sin and wickedness and perversion that is destroying this world, because God loves us. Yeah. God loves us. And then he tells us we will be like Christ. Of course, we'll finally see him, what, as he is. Yeah, that's coming. We'll finally see him as he is. And so we ended last time really thinking about the fact of how amazing it is. We ended amazed at who we are and what we will be, amazed at the love of God for us and the ways that God has loved us. Romans 11 says, how unfathomable are your ways. And every Christian in here can look back and think about all the ways that God has loved you when you know you weren't acting lovely, you weren't thinking lovely, you weren't speaking lovely, you weren't acting lovely. Yeah, everybody knows we've all had those occasions, and yet God loved us through that. Amazing. Amazing love. And so today, I want to talk about verse 3. Because we didn't get to spend much time on verse 3 last time. And so, verse 3 says that that should have an impact on our life, right? God loving us this way and understanding we are God's children and understanding what we will be, this should affect our lives. And so that's what we want to talk about for a few minutes today. We're going to look at the fact that believers have hope in Christ. You remember that in verse 3? Well, everyone who does hopes in him. You see? Believers have hope in Christ. And this hope leads us to purity. Purifies himself, yeah? Everyone who hopes in him purifies himself. So that's the way we're going to kind of maneuver our way through that one verse today. All right? So here we go. As we think about the fact that believers have hope in Christ for this life, yeah, it's real. It's not just imaginary and mystical. It's real hope, and this hope has caused us to be amazed. But you see, God wants more than amazement. He wants us to be more, to see that there's more required of us than just for us to be amazed at his love. You see? That's the deal. That's what I want to talk about today. God wants his children to be shocked by his love. He wants us to be amazed and in awe, you see, of his great love for us. See what kind of love the Father has for us. Be amazed about it. But remember that's not the end of it. That's the deal. God does not want us to simply continue gazing. That's the thing that came to me as I thought about this issue. Don't continue to simply gaze upon his amazing love for us. Sit there and gaze on it and only meditate on it. You know, there's nothing wrong with meditation. We're talking about meditation on Wednesdays. But you see, your life has to be more than meditation. Yeah? More. And so it made me think about the transfiguration. You remember the transfiguration when Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John there with him, and it was so awe-striking to them. They were there in amazement, and they wanted to stay, but Jesus said, no, we can't stay here. I don't want you to stay here gazing. You see, we got to go back down the mountain. And you remember at the ascension, it was the same thing, right? Jesus had taken them, he'd been with them these 40 days, and they had interacted, and he had lived among them. But it was time for him to go. And so as they were there with him and he was taken up into the clouds, what did they say? They stood there what? Gazing. And an angel had to come and say, why are you standing here? What? Gazing. He's gone, but what? He'll come again. So you need to go on and do what he told you to do. You see? So that's the deal, is that even though we've got this wonderful, incredible, amazing, and shocking love, God wants us to do more than gaze at it. Because the point is, and this is the way I said it, we were not saved just to gaze. Okay? We are not saved just to gaze. We're not saved simply just to study God's love. You remember that? 1 Corinthians 8 says that knowledge, if that's all you're seeking, does what? It puffs you up. It makes you arrogant. So God doesn't call us together here as a community of his people just to study and be smart. No, 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 no. That makes us arrogant. And he doesn't call us to simply have faith in love, you see? And remember how James said it, faith without works is what? Is dead. No, no. So there's more. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. There's more. We don't minimize any of those things, but we have to accept the fact that there's more that God expects from us. Essentially, what I want you to see is that God's love should prompt you to action, right? 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, the love of Christ, that word, yet verb used there in some of our Bibles are translated controls. It can mean compel or restrain. You see, the point is that the love of God does, it affects you. You know, it's just, you're not just sitting there staring at it. God's love prompts you to action, whatever that may be. It may be to hold your peace, you see, it restrains. Or it may compel you to go do something you don't want to do, you see, the love of God. To make sacrifices that you really don't want to make. Yeah? Because his love, God is at work in us both to will and to work his good pleasure. So you see, God wants more than amazement of his love. And the next thing I want you to see is that he wants more than certainty of hope. And so this verse tells us that we got hope. It's real hope. It's not fickle hope. It's real. But God wants us to understand that there's more. Everyone who thus hopes in him, every believer has real, solid hope. No doubt. There's no doubt. If you're a child of God, you know it. You know it. And if you don't know it, it needs to be settled so that you can move on and not keep vacillating and going back and forth and repeating. You see, as the book of Hebrews says, the elementary things. God wants you to move on from the elementary things. Peter said, you ought to be on meat, and I'm still what? Still having to feed you milk. And so, there's more than just the certainty of hope. And so Christian or biblical hope, if you will, is based on the certainty of what we know. You see that in verse 2? Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be yet, what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know, there it is, right? But we know that when he appears, Who is it that knows that? Everyone who is a child of God knows that when he appears, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. And all I'm doing is just reminding you of what you already know. That's a part of my job. It's part of my role. I mean, if you don't like the word job, that's part of my role in the body of Christ. It's to remind you of things you already know. I see. And particularly those of us who've been together all the many years as we have, I'm probably not telling you anything new, but I can remind you, see, of things you already know. So this is a marvelous thing. There's a little verse over in Hebrews. What did I have there? Hebrews 10, 23. Most of you are familiar with it. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. That's it. Yeah. We hold fast to it because he's faithful. He cannot lie. The same book would go on to say it's impossible for God to lie. So these are wonderful things. These are wonderful, wonderful truths. And God gives every Christian the confidence to trust him and to trust what he says about Christ for the future, right? Christ shall physically appear. We shall see him and we shall be like him. That's what we are told in the previous verses. And what? We know it to be true. It's a settled issue for everyone who is a true child of God. Amen? Amen. But what does all this amazement and of his love and this certainty of hope do for us? That's what I'm saying to you. You know, we can sit here and rally ourselves around these truths and then just walk out and say, oh my. You remember how the disciples were on the road to Emmaus? Mind and our hearts burn as Jesus was among. But you see, what happens after your heart burns? What comes next? That's the deal. See? And you notice that that's John's issue here. There's more than just gazing on the love of God. There's more than just remembering and knowing that Christ left. He died. He rose. He ascended. And I'm just going to sit here and wait till he returns. God said, no, I didn't save you for that. Mm-mm. Just going to hang around in my house and see, bury my head in my Bible and listen to my Christian music. And you know how that is. Some people just seem like they're just so Christian that they can't get involved. Can't get involved. And even though Jesus said, I send you to the world. I send you out. You're not of the world, but you're in it. You're in it for a specific purpose. It's not just to sit around gazing and staring and trying to prove to people how much you know. And isn't that discouraging sometimes? You see Christians, that's all they do. They get in conversations, and all they want to do is want to try to prove to people how much they know about the Bible. And wonder why people are turned off. All right, we're good? That's the first thing, is that we have hope in Christ for this life. But the next issue is what comes. You know, what's coming? What comes after this? What comes after this? And I'm saying that this hope leads a believer to, well, I'm not saying, that's what the Bible says here, right? This hope leads to purity. Those who does hope in him, what? Purifies himself, right? Purifies himself as he is pure. So the first thing we want to think about is purity of heart. Because as you know, the heart is the place that is the center. The center of things for the Christian. God wants his children to think like he thinks, right? To think like him. And so he gives us the mind of Christ, right? 1 Corinthians 2, we have been given the mind of Christ so that we can discern things spiritually. And so that we are not those who are groping in darkness. We are not those who are so easily deceived. We are not those who are so easily led astray, because we have the mind of Christ and we can discern good from evil. He's given us the mind of Christ. We can spiritually discern matters, right from wrong, good from evil. Think about that today in our world today. You ask them just basic questions like that, and when they get pinned in the corner, all that they can say is, that's your truth, and what? And I got my truth. Because truth is going to stand. Truth is going to stand. And I just want to encourage everybody here to know, you don't have to pretty truth up. You see, you don't have to make it look good. Truth is good to all those who love it. Yeah. If you love truth, it's good to you. It's not burdensome. That's the reason we love the Word of God, because it's not burdensome to us. I heard the psalmist, sweeter than what? Honey! And the drippings of a honeycomb. And then, I mean, there's other people that hate it, but we love it. The Word of God does things for my soul that nothing and no one else can. Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so that's because we got to, unlike some of the people that we see used in the Old Testament, that God gave them a different heart. Yeah. We don't want a different heart. We've been given what? A new heart. Yeah? A new heart. And this new heart, it's new. The Bible says, anyone in Christ, we are what? A new creation. We haven't been rehabbed. Amen. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't go in there? He's not in the rehab business. New. All things have what? Passed away. New things have come. Everybody is a Christian here. Know what I'm saying. You know the way you used to talk. You know the way you used to talk. You know how you could look at somebody in their face and just straight up lie. You know what I'm talking about. You know, we don't need to pretend now. You know, we may be further away from that, but I'm just, the Bible never wants us to forget how wicked we were. And the Bible said there's things that we used to do that they're not even worth, they shouldn't even be mentioned among the saints. But you know, what does that do? That confirms that I'm what? I'm new. I'm new. I'm not the person I used to be. Yeah? Got a new heart. Hallelujah. A new heart. So to be discerning. God wants us to be discerning. And to live effectively, our hearts must be clean. Who shall ascend to the Lord and stand in his temple? He who has what, clean hands and what? A pure heart. Hallelujah. David said, create in me, Lord, a what? A clean heart. There's a wonderful little verse in 1 Timothy where Paul is writing to them right at the beginning. He says, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Isn't that amazing? Issues from a pure heart. A pure heart. No ulterior motives if you're going to love somebody, if you're going to minister to them in love. No ulterior motives. You got a good conscience about it. Your people may slander you and say all manner of, Jesus said, say all manner of evil against you. But you just got to remember your reward is what? Great in heaven. Just keep loving them. That's the reason we can what? Love our enemies. Because this love issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Yeah? Yeah. So this purity of heart needs to be really worked out in your own mind. And of course, you know, and so many people, when they talk about this, they hit on their chest. And you know that even when people do that, you're not talking about this, you know, this organ that beats inside your chest cavity. But the heart is the center of every person, where your will, your intellect, your emotion, your passions, you see, that's where they emanate from. And that's the reason the Proverbs writer would say, guard your heart. Guard it. Because from it come what? The issues of life. Yeah, from the heart. And so the purity of the heart is so, so important. Well, you might remember that unbelievers' hearts can be darkened and evil and perverse, deceitful. Unbelievers' hearts can be proud and hard and stubborn and foolish and insane. Unbelievers' hearts are even called unbelieving. But now, don't just think that the problem is with the unbeliever's heart. There's also a problem with believers' hearts. See, believers' hearts can be heavy and hardened. A believer's heart can be unclean. A believer's heart can be broken. A believer's heart can be perplexed and anxious, which is and sorrowful. But a believer's heart can also be glad and pure and clean. And so you see, we got all these conditions of our heart that we need to be aware of, because what? God says, I want your heart to be pure. So when you deal with people, it's what? You got a pure heart, a good conscience, as Paul could say. You got a good conscience about what you're doing, because you know your motives. Your motives are right. So you see, this is the reason it's so important. I didn't get to that Romans. Let me read that Romans verse. Romans 6:17. Because it's a really important verse for those of you who are thinking about the heart. You know, as I tell you, it's the place where the will, the intellect, the emotion, the passions are. It says, "But thanks be to God that you were once slaves to sin, have become obedient from the heart." You see, now look at this: to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. You get it? So, you see, there's intellect with the heart, you see it? And there's commitment, there's resolve, it's from the will. You have made a commitment where? From the heart. And so when we talk to people and say, these things are from my heart, they may not understand, but if they're believers, they should. You see? Because this is the place of change. As I said before, the condition of the heart controls a person's whole life. Right? From it flows the issues. You know, the issues of life. So, purity of heart, and then lastly, purity of heart will affect purity in what? Words and actions. You follow what I'm saying here? So, the purity in life starts with the heart, works its way to what? What we say, and then what? Ultimately, what we do. Right? That's not hard to follow, is it? And so, in the Bible, why are we holy? We are holy because what? God says, you be holy. Why? Because I'm holy, right? 1 Peter 1:6. And so holiness and the character of God is revealed in our words and our actions. Jesus said, let your light shine before men. What? These are things that what people can see. Now see, we've moved on from the heart now, and you're thinking. He says, let your what? Let your light, let your words and your actions, let your light shine before men in such a way that they can what? See your good works and what? Glorify your Father. And so this is important. It's important to understand that holiness and the character of God is revealed in our words and in our actions. Ephesians talks about the way we speak and how that is to reveal the very character of God. Ephesians 4:29, let me find it here. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. You see? So they can experience the good works that come from your mouth and what? Glorify your Father. And even here in chapter 3 of 1 John, he says, you can't just love people with talk, but love them with deeds. Love them with deeds as well, you see? Deeds. So 1 John 3:18. So this is a matter that has to be embraced. The holiness and the character of God is revealed in our words and in our actions. And then we finally can see that holiness in our lifestyles means that we are children of God, and that we plan to be like Jesus when he returns. Now, I don't think I've ever done this before in a sermon, but there was a little short video clip that I thought was be more effective than me just telling you about it. And so I want you to listen to it, and then we'll try to wrap the sermon up. It's only a couple, 2 or 3 minutes. And I want you to think about what we're talking about here, all right? Purity. Purity.
If you can watch now the industry called gospel music today, you see that a lot of it is solely for the aggrandizement. It is for the awards. It is for the popularity. And we use gospel as the foundation, gospel music, but we're building all of this carnality on top of it. Who can get an award, and who can get the television spot, and who's going to be on the televised award show, and the like. And that becomes the goal. You go to the award shows now, and you platform all of the gospel artists and all the new gospel music, and then you go to the reception afterwards, and it's drinking and secular music. You got an open bar, They're playing nothing but secular music at a gospel award show. So this has become the norm because we've let down the guard. The guardians have let down the standard. And now there's another standard raised where it's all according to what you think is right. Mm-hmm. And the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of those ways are the ways of death. So that's where we find ourselves. We're singing a great message, but we're not living a great life.
Mm-hmm. So the word to those who look up to you, respect you, who believe in you, that may not know the way, like you say, the generation of today, so that they can, if they're on that path, what would you say to them to abort that mission?
Oh, man, there's so much to say, because there's so much to institute and there's so much to dismantle.
Yeah.
And this generation has risen up that doesn't know God really in that sense. There's a lot to say. The first and foremost thing that I could tell anybody in the multiple generations that are underneath me is let Jesus Christ really be the Savior. Let him really be the one who sanctifies us. Let's learn what sanctification really is. Let's come out from among them and be separate from them and not touch the unclean thing. And he said the truth. Everybody says, you know, we're all God's children. We're all God's children. That's not what 2 Corinthians says. He says, only when you come out from among them and only when you're separate from them, he said, and then I will be a father to you. It's conditional. And then I will be a father to you. And then you will be my sons and daughters because you've come out from sin. You are living like me now in holiness. So we've got to get back to holiness. Live like God. And stop making excuses for the carnality that we held on to that we wanted.
So, you see, I could have told you about that, but I thought it'd be good. Now, you know, Donnie has his issues just like, you know, the rest of us. But I thought it'd be good for you to hear some of what goes on behind the scenes. You see, of what looks so good on the surface, but it's not pure. It's not holy. There's a video circulating around where Jackie Perry is revealing. You know these all of the wickedness with Beyonce and how people are being deceived by this whole thing. You know, she grew up in the church and she's got this thing I think called church girl and all that. But the wickedness that goes on that I don't even want to, you know, talk about here today. But you see, the purity, as I think as Donnie Wells said, the standards have been just so lowered now. And if you just have no idea how difficult it is for me to try to put together music, you know, on Sunday mornings that have the semblance of edification to it rather than just a whole bunch of worldly beats and you know, ideas and words and has no gospel message to it. You know, it's called gospel, as Donnie said. And there are, you know, some good things coming from wicked lies. But you see the hypocrisy there? That's not what God wants from his people. He wants what? Purity. Those who thus hope, what? Purifies themselves. And churches are condoning all forms of sexual immorality and deceitfulness and drunkenness and foolishness in worship, false teaching and false teachers and practicing mind control and other cultic practices, all to keep their doors open, to keep membership going on, you see, to keep their pews filled. But you see, they are desperate and they depend on the world and the ways of the world. But my brother, my sister, I didn't mention that to you for you to get sad. This is not the way God intended for things to be among his children. I wanted to show you the contrast, because light shines the brightest with darkness background. You see that dark background there? God says, we are light. We're to shine. We're to be light in this world. Let your what? Light shine before men. In this dark and wicked and perverted, that's the reason I call it a toxic environment that we're in. It's poisoning people. And so God says, you go in there. Don't be afraid. I'll protect you. Go into that toxic milieu of wickedness. And I'll protect you. His children and his church, God will protect in this wicked time in which we live. We are not desperate people. My brother, my sister, those of you who are listening on Zoom, we are not desperate people. No. I do not share these things in any way for you to think that we're desperate because all of this wickedness is going on behind the scene. No, no. No, no. We are those who are living with what? Hope. I've already tried to show you that. We are living with what? Hope. Real hope. Certainty of hope. We are not living as if we're groping in the dark, making up our rules as we go along, or living with no rules at all, you see? That's not us. No, 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 no. We are children of God, and we are amazed by the fact that every day, we see the extent to which God loves us. Amazed at, don't you? I'm amazed at the extent to which God loves me. Amazed, amazed, amazed that God even saved me. Aren't you? Amazed that he saved us. Amazed that we're in his family. Amazed that we're in his kingdom. Amazed that we're in his sheepfold. Amazed that we're branches on the true vine, bearing good fruit for the Lord. Amazed that we're in his army, fighting for the Lord. Amazed that we are counted righteous to suffer for righteousness' sake. Amazed, amazed that we would be counted, considered righteous enough to suffer for his sake. Amazed that God is our Father, our provider, our protector. Amazed that God is our healer. God is our teacher. God is our God. God is our God. He is the mighty counselor. Amazed that he's the Prince of Peace. Amazed that we can be reconciled to God and at peace with him. Eternally joined. Amazed that we are eternally joined to Christ. And that amazed that Christ died for our sins. Amazed that he was resurrected for our sins. Amazed that he ascended and he's there ruling and interceding for us. Amazed. We're amazed. We're not desperate people. Amazed that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. Amazed that in our Father's house, we got a room. Aren't you amazed by that? In our Father's house, in the next life, in the new heaven and the new earth, in our Father's house, you got a room. But you see, there's so much more. I'm not trying to catalog everything we should be amazed about, but I am saying that because of this, we are to be living holy now, not just talking about it. Not just being amazed and gazing on it. But these things ought to what? Motivate us to live for Christ what? Now. Live for him now. Let him search your heart now. Make sure your heart is clean and pure now. Make sure that the words that you speak now are gracious words, seasoned words, you see?
Make sure your actions are actions being led and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Make sure that you are under the control of love. Love is controlling you, you see? Why? Because you're amazed. Amazed by all of these things we've talked about today. We live for Christ because of who He is and what He has done. We live for Him. And so I hope that you will leave here today wanting to do more than just gaze and talk about what a good time that you might have had studying the Scriptures. And for those, anyone here or those on Zoom, if you're not joined to Christ, you see, because there's so many different meanings poured into being saved, if you're not joined to Christ, if you're not a new creation, if you're not in the family of God, I invite you to come to Christ now in faith, and He'll change you, and you'll be amazed as well. Amen. Father, we thank You so much for